This morning's reading can be found on page 1094 of the Pew Bible. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, on page 1094. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we've come to listen to your word and to be challenged by you. I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us, that you'll encourage us, that you'll show us, Lord, what you have to say this morning. Amen. So we are part of a series on shaping church culture, and I intentionally was on holiday last Sunday where we talked about giving, so it's a difficult thing to be around at. So, but we're looking at who we are as a church and how we do things. So... Can we have the slides, please? We're looking at who we are and what we do, and we want to shape the culture to be who God is calling us to be. And so my first question when we think about this is, have you ever been part of a team that worked very well? Can you think of a time in your life when you were part of a team that worked very well? I'm going to give you 15 seconds to think about it. You don't need to chat with the people around you. But what was it in that team that had made you think, okay, it's really good to be part of this team? You were encouraged, enthused about it. What worked very well? So 10, 15 seconds to think about it. And some of us can think of teams where we are just really excited to be part of because we felt the team was much better than us and we actually be a part of a team that of all these talented people. Sometimes it's because we had friends in it. Sometimes it's because we were doing something that was really worth doing. Sometimes it's just the team worked very well together. There's different reasons why a team works well and why we want to be part of it. As I mentioned earlier, we were 2 days ago in the United States. I like to call it United States or USA and not America, because actually America is a big continent, and I was born in America, but in South America. But that's a little caveat. That's my non-American or non-USA thing to say. But we went to watch a university football game, and that's Sammy really enjoying it the first 10 minutes, and then with the heat, didn't enjoy it that much as I did. But there was something I found in USA that's really important for them. It's all about branding and identity and being part of something. Everyone's part of something. You either love the sports, or you hate the sports, or you love this group, or you're part of a group, and these students go to university, and they're part of these little societies. But it's all about being part of something. And you'd see, we are visiting a cousin of ours who's actually studying in Temple University, and you'd see people going to Temple University, and they had a Temple T-shirt. I was just thinking, this is a bit ridiculous. Everyone here is at university, but one of out of every three people we see either had a cap or a T-shirt or a jumper or something that or a bag. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. You're all part of the same university. Why are you kind of trying to show off that you're part of a university everyone knows you're already part of? But it's all about their identity, and it's all about being part of something. And you can see it across everything that happens. You have like the Trump and the non-Trump and the I love arms and I hate arms, guns, and you kind of have everything around. Everything is part of being part of something. And I think in many ways, that's who we are as people. We enjoy being part of something because we've been created to be part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And that's a church. We've been created to be part of God's family, to work as a team, to have an identity in something that's bigger than us. And that's what God calls us to do. And that's where we come into our passage today. We'll be looking at Acts, these five verses in Acts, Acts 2, 42 to 47. And it's a really important passage and probably very well known, because it's all about that first church. The first church, how they lived, how they did things. And so is that first church is a model of what we do and how we do things. We always look back to how the first Christians lived to see if we are living similarly to them or if we need to adjust and do things differently. And it says that after Pentecost, so after the starting of the church, the disciples would get together. And this is not only kind of, we think of the disciples like these first 12 apostles, but actually it was a church. It was many people, hundreds of people, who would get together to look at these things. And it says they were devoted to, and these are the four things it says, the previous two back. They are devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, prayer, and the breaking of bread. And that's what we do as a church as well, isn't it? We come, we listen to the apostles' teaching. So I'm not saying I'm an apostle teaching to you, please. But we listen to their teaching. We look at the Bible. We are now looking at Acts, and we're looking at what they taught. We do fellowship together. We pray together, and we break the bread together, which is communion, but it's also it's remembering what Jesus did. So our song Amazing Grace just now was talking about what Jesus did. So we're doing this the whole time. That's what we do as a church, because we try and model what the first church did. But there's something that's quite impressive about that first church. And if you see the next slide, you'll see that it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs God was doing. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So it's not only about what that church was doing or what those disciples were doing, but it's also we can see what God was doing amongst them. And what God was doing is God was bringing new people. New people were hearing about God and coming to faith, and God was acting in their lives. It's a bit like what Bryn was just sharing. God was doing something amongst them, and that's why they were so enthused and committed to that church, and that's why they met, and because they were seeing God work amongst them. And I think there's a very strong relationship between them gathering and them praying and them listening to God's word, and the fact that the Lord was bringing new people and that people were being filled with his Holy Spirit and touched and changed and challenged and growing in their faith. I think there's a strong relationship between them meeting, them committing to do what they're called to do, and God doing his bit as well. And I think that's what we are called to do as a church. We are called to do our bit and then trust and pray that God will do his bit. And when we combine these two things together, that's when the church is alive, and that's when the church is the church as it was always designed to be. But therefore, in a way, we need to do our bit and trust that God will do his bit. But we are called to do this together. And that's the lovely thing about church, and that's the exciting thing about church, is that we have a role to play. It's not just kind of we come to worship and that's it. It's actually we have a part to play, because we are part of this team, and that's why I related it to a team, where it's really exciting to be part of, because we are actually part of the most important team in history. It's a team that God started, and it's part of being his family and doing his work on earth. So there's a part we have to play and the part that God has to do. And so if we see our next slide, we'll see that The first verse says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And devoted is a very strong word. We don't use it very much in our daily lives. But actually, the Greek word, and I'm sorry if it's slightly small, it's small in my screen over there. I think you probably see it fine here. And it says, the Greek word for devoted is steadfast continuing. So it's a like really strong word, steadfast continuing, constantly diligent, give self continually. So if you had to translate devoted, it's steadfast continuing, constantly diligent, give self continually to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So they're really taking this seriously. They're really investing a lot in God's kingdom, and they can see then the fruit of investing a lot of their life in God's kingdom. So the word we chose for this sermon was commitment, and that's why we're using this word devoted. So, I truly believe that we commit to what we believe in. If we really believe in something, we do commit to it. And I had a friend a few years ago who had a family and had a kind of a job which demanded a lot of time, and he suddenly believed he wanted to, and he was not a Christian, but he suddenly believed he wanted to do a triathlon. So that meant he needed to commit and seriously commit. He had to train 3 hours a day, and he was able to do it for a year or something. And I thought, where did you get the time to do that? How did you do to be able to cycle 3 hours or to run for 3 hours and then or swim an hour and a half and then every day? And he was able to find time. I'm not saying we all have to do that all the time. But actually, if we believe in something, if we really believe in something, if there's a cause that really moves us, then we commit to it. Then we do something about it. If you look at the big crises or the wars or stuff like that, people do lots of things to react when things are difficult, when they believe in what they're working for. So I believe, and this is my belief, the church is who we are. So it's not what we do, or it's not a place we come to. Church is who we are, and we are part of God's family doing God's mission. And we are the biggest movement in history and the most important cause in the universe. That's who I think church is. That's what I believe we are together. We are God's family, and we are doing God's mission, and we are part of the biggest movement in history and the most important cause in the universe. That's who we are. And a pastor called Bill Hybel said, the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that that's so true, that actually God decides to do his work through his church and through many other organizations, charities, but he does it through the local church. The church is a local church. God's big church is a sum of all the little churches. So we are part of what God is doing in the world. We are part of this massive movement that's not only what's happening today with billions or millions of Christians worshiping God and doing his mission, but it's also part of a church that's historic, that has no time limits. So we are part of what God did 4,000 years ago, we are part of what God did 2,000 years ago, we are part of what God did through those apostles who are really excited and sharing the good news with everyone. We are part of something that's really massive, that's God's work throughout history in this world. And that's why we believe what we do is so important. But actually, the hope of the world is a local church. It's what we do when we gather together. It's us and the millions of churches around the world doing God's work and looking for God's presence. So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, there's this strong relationship between us committing and God doing his work. There is this strong... And if we want to see every time more of God's work amongst us, which God is doing lovely things around us, then there's a relationship between maybe how we commit and how we do things, and maybe how we invest our time in God's kingdom. And I came up with this quote, which I love, from Albert Einstein, which says the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And I think we all, as part of a local church and this lovely church which we have, which is St. Giles and St. George's, is we want to see God move, and we want to see more of God doing things around us. He's doing lovely things, but there's more he can do. And in part, it has to do also with how we commit to church, how we commit to pray for different ministries, how we commit to be involved in what God is doing. So we have a part to play. So if we want to see God do things slightly differently to what we've seen in the last, say, 2, 3, 5 years, then maybe what we need to do is do things a bit differently as well, personally and together. It's maybe spending more time in prayer, expecting these breakthroughs, like Bryn was sharing, that if we pray and gather and pray, then God will do things amongst us. Because it's a two-way thing. It's we do our bit, and God does his bit, and together we are the church. So I know I'm talking a lot about being devoted and committed and kind of doing all these things for God, but I also think it's important to remember that nothing we do will make us earn God's love. Nothing we will do will make God love us more or less. He just loves you as much as he does, and he's not going to love you more or less if you pray more, commit more. It's not about our works, but in response to what God does, we love to serve and see him move, and therefore we love to play our part in his kingdom, because we believe in the church. We believe in what God does. And the other thing is, Mother Teresa said, God has not called me to be successful, he has called me to be faithful. And I think that's really important, because it doesn't mean that every time we do God's things, we will be successful. But if we commit to God, that's what he wants. That what he wants our heart. He wants our mind. He wants us to give ourselves fully to him, and he's faithful to us. So being committed and doing God's work isn't always easy. It's sometimes a bit of a struggle, but it's completely worth it. Like everything that we want that is worth doing, it usually demands an effort, doesn't it? Like anything that's worth working for actually usually demands a bit of an effort. So if I want to lose weight and I eat rubbish all day, then I won't lose weight. It doesn't work that way. I have to do an effort to eat healthier, to do sport, but it's worth it. If I want to nurture a relationship, I need to spend time, and it's worth it because that relationship is worth my time. So a lot of it is putting our effort and time into what we believe in, because we commit to what we believe in. I hope we remember this phrase, we commit to what we believe in. If we really believe in something, if we think something is worth doing, then we will commit to it. And I'm going to share a story of a time when I think was the closest I've ever been to divorce. And this was a trip I did with Sonia just before coming to England. So the south of Argentina has lovely mountains, a bit like Switzerland, and big lakes. So just before moving, we said, let's go for visiting the south of Argentina. So we camped for 2 weeks and did a lot of hiking and walking in lovely lakes. And there was this, and we met my brother for the first 4 or 5 days, and he spoke about this big mountain there was to climb. And he got me really enthused about the mountain, but he also, it was a bit of a challenge, you know, brothers compete a bit. And he said, like, oh, we were able to do it in certain amount of time, and it was a big effort, but we were able to do it. And I was like, I'm going to conquer that mountain. Like, I can't not conquer it if he's conquered it. Like, I'm going to go for it. And the trouble was, We went one day to it, but it was a bit further away than what we expected, and actually the whole way was uphill, downhill, and a lot of stones. So it took us much longer than expected. And you're supposed to arrive like at 8:30, and we woke up late, had a late breakfast, and we actually arrived around midday. And when we arrived there, the park person said, "Look, it's too late to go up that mountain." And that's why I nearly got divorced. It's too late to go up that mountain. Why don't you just do this 3-hour walk, which is kind of a walk around the lake, and come back? I said, "Yes, fine, we'll do that." And then when we left, I said, "No, we have to conquer the mountain. We've done 2-hour drive here. There's no way I'm going to come back another day. This is our time." And so I was like, "Oh, well, we won't be able to do it." And I said, "Yeah, we definitely. It's not that much." And actually, they say you have to leave at 9 to be able to be back by 6, more or less, or 7. So we left at 12, went up half the way there. Sonia was really angry, like, "Why are we doing this?" But at the end of the day, we went up the mountain, and it was a big effort. Like, we stopped for 5 minutes, I think, the whole way, and the bits were very, very hard, and we weren't that fit either. But we actually did the whole effort, and then we got to this beautiful scenery. And I've got a picture of the place, and I've put us separate because that's how we were when we arrived. There's no way we are going to get a picture together. But we got to this place where you could just see this beautiful view, and there was snow, and it's just lovely. And to be honest, when we got there, we had kind of no strength. I could hardly speak to the guy who was up there. But they sold us the most expensive Coke I've ever bought and the most expensive Kit Kat I've ever bought. But it was completely worth it. It paid like £20 for each or something ridiculous. But it was completely worth it because we had no energy at all. And this is after having eaten some chocolate and rested for an hour. But the view was amazing, and actually the whole effort of going up and those 5 hours of non-stop walking a steep mountain were completely worth it because of the view we had, because of what we had achieved, because we were able to conquer that mountain. And I think with church commitment and with committing with God, it's exactly the same thing. Sometimes it requires a bit of an effort. Sometimes we don't want to do it. Sometimes we'd rather not wake up and pray, or we'd rather not commit to different things. But every time you commit, and every time you do God's work, and every time you step out and do his bit, then the reward is amazing. It's a bit like being able to see that view and saying, "Oh, that's definitely worth doing. That's definitely worth the effort." I think many times when you're part of, say, little things like holiday club and things, or a mission team or something that's quite demanding, and probably a pilgrimage and that kind of things, which demands a lot in a short amount of time. And just the day before, you're like, "Why did I get into this? Why did I accept to do this?" That's the same feeling I had in the middle of the mountain. Why did I? Why was I so stubborn and decided to go up? But then you get there, and then you finish doing the work, and then you come back, say, from a prison, or you come back from doing some ministry somewhere, and you say, "Oh, this was completely worth it. It's completely worth the effort we put into summertime social. It's completely worth the effort we put into all of these things," because you can see the fruits. You can see that people have been blessed, that people have received a bit of God's love, who have received a bit of his presence, who have been touched by God. And that's when you say, "Yes, this is worth it." And then you just see this lovely view that is maybe God's kingdom and what God is doing amongst us. So the call for us, I think, today is to think about how are we committed to what God is doing? Are we committed to God in our relationship with him? And are we committed to what God is doing also in our local church, here amongst us? Because the church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. And what we do together matters. What we do together brings God's kingdom here in Ashted. And that's partly what we are called to do. So I'm going to finish with my last little phrase. Be committed to a God who is absolutely committed to you. And God is absolutely committed to what he's doing amongst us and what he does here in our local church and in our local parish and he is committed to what he's doing. And maybe the question is, how can we be more committed to him, firstly, and to what he's doing amongst us as well? It's two different things. They are similar, and there's a lot of things that are kind of part of being. If you're committed to God, you'll probably be committed to a local church, and if you're committed to a local church, you're probably committed to God. But it's not always the same thing. I think there is a call from God and an invitation to commit to him and to his church and to do our bit and then trust that he'll do his bit. And that's what church is all about. Do our bit and trust that God will do his bit as well. So let's spend 1 or 2 minutes in silence thinking of, how does this look for me tomorrow? How does this look for me today? How does being committed to God look for me tomorrow, Monday, when I wake up, when I go about my day? Jesus, as we hear from your first followers, how they devoted themselves, they gave themselves continually, constantly, diligent, steadfastly, continuing in listening to your word and in fellowship and in breaking of the bread and in prayer. And as we see what you did through them and amongst them, we just pray, won't you do it again today with us? We'd love to see you work powerfully amongst us. We'd love to see your kingdom being extended in this place. We'd love to see more people come to you and meet you and know you. We want to commit because we believe in your cause. We want to commit because we believe in what you're doing. We want to commit because we believe in you and we trust in you. And we trust that you will do what we can't do. We trust that you'll work where we can't work. And Lord, we want to give ourselves to you as an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.